Thank you, Abba Father.
Your name
In Jesus' precious name. Please take your seat.
You will not suffer my foot to be moved. I carry your presence everywhere. Oh, Amen. Your mind is so full of me.
Cannot come into that fathomness. You can't fathom it. To think anything of ourselves for our sufficiency is in God. Our sufficiency.
I am more than you are.
Mortals bearing immortality. Hallelujah. We are mortals bearing the immortal God. We are privileged vessels. We are privileged vessels. Thank you, Father. for the privilege for mortals to bear immortality. Thank you, Lord.
Your name be praised.
In Jesus' precious name. All right, welcome to Bible Study. Welcome to Bible Study. This is our midweek. It's our midweek service.
Woo!
Glory!
Glory!
Hallelujah! So we are doing midweek service and it's Bible Study. Very soon. I don't know how long this is gonna take us. Only today. And so if we exhaust it today, it means that we are beginning our chapter Bible study. Like I said to us earlier. Okay, so we are gonna be running it. So we are beginning with, the Lord has given me clearance, we are beginning with the book of Ephesians.
Oh, it's gonna be sweet.
You see, now we are going to enjoy God. Oh, you are aware. It was ministered to you. Awesome. So we are beginning with the book of Ephesians. We are going to look into chapter 1. I don't know how long chapter 1 will take us. Alright. You don't know how long chapter 2 will take us, but you see, we are going to enjoy the word of God. You know, I shared a post today. Humorously, somebody was saying that I'm a pastor. Alright, so it was a life story. I'm a pastor. But I don't like the teaching thing. You guys saw it, right? I don't like the teaching thing, but I'm a pastor. And the person said, so what do you do? What's your thing? Says it's the prophetic. And I know Pastor Matthew, I know him. Alright. And they said to the person, okay. That's your problem. But I will advise you that you leave that your prophetic thing and do a learning thing. Did you see that? Before you ruin people's lives. You see, now in our day, people are now, they have optimized or prioritized the prophetic office, thinking that remuneration comes constantly from that corridor. That if you are going to be wealthy, you have to, you see, because they are seeing a lot of things flying on the internet. They are seeing how prophets are making waves. They are flying in first class jets. Many of them, they are building houses for them. They are using latest limousine. So all those things is entering the eyes of even young persons. So everybody now, they want to do names, they want to do phone numbers, they want to do addresses, they want to do your... Are you following me? That's the basis for authenticating accuracy. And you are wrong, because you can be accurate and you are not correct. Are you following me? And one thing I must also... You know, I love the supernatural. Of course, you know I love the prophetic. Okay, so I'm not undermining those realities, but I'm trying to bring us to a point in God that there's one thing that we must give our heart to. You notice that even in Bible study, you don't find people anymore. People only come for Bible study meetings, but when it is the flow of the supernatural, the flow of the miraculous, you see people trooping in. Because we have been bamboozled. We are looking for the spectacular, not the spiritual. Alright? It's different. We are looking for the spectacular, not what? Not the spiritual. You know, and the spectacular comes with a lot of razzmatazz. Comes with a lot of things. And people say, this man of God is on fire. Hallelujah. There were two angels in Jesus' sepulchre, and Jesus was not there. It's a word of wisdom. So you can meet with angels, and you don't meet Jesus. Did you hear that? Because they actually met two angels there. Unfortunately, Jesus was not there. So accuracy in angelic ministry is not a proof that you are accurate. Am I saying angelic ministry is not functional, is not operational? No. Of course you know that the Lord is helping us gradually. Hallelujah. But we are coming back to the day of the Word of God. Somebody say the Word of God. The Word of God. And so, we have a Bible study meeting. Bible study week. We are going to look into Ephesians. Not today. Woo! The Word of God is sweet. Are you aware of that? The Word of God is amazing. The Word of God is amazing. So today we are looking at organic, not chemistry, organic Christianity. No, if you are not a science student, you won't understand that. So don't laugh. We are not referring to historians here. Alright? You don't know organic chemistry. Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! We tell them to go to science class. We're looking for what? Don't mind me, I'm only kidding. Alright. Hallelujah. So we are looking at organic Christianity. Organic Christianity. I don't know if you have been able to, over the years, look into my teaching curriculum. Have been able to study that there's something that I prioritize is the living aspect of the gospel. The living. I don't know why I'm so passionate about living the gospel, living the life. I also want to see this replicated in the life of the recipient, everyone who listens to the word, as much as I would also ensure that by the grace of God, what we communicate, we are not deficient in it. Are you aware of that? Because you can be communicating a reality that you are deficient in. Is that true? Yeah. You have not seen people who come to the pulpit and ministers that he should live consecrated. And immediately after the meeting, they meet with a woman outside their marriage. Oh, don't worry. We have been able to meet a few persons. So, I know what I'm communicating. You know, we are just young. I've seen men communicate what they are not living by. I've seen them. I was still saying to my wife yesterday,
I guess yesterday or 2 days ago.
So how do people have the confidence to come to the pulpit and preach what they are not living by? Do you understand? Something sponsored, I guess we're seeing in a movie or something. And a pastor comes to the pulpit, communicates the word of God in accuracy, even the wife. But these guys, we are nonsense. I'm telling you. If you don't know discernment, when the wife was ministering, I was moved. And you know it's moving. But at the same time, we should discern. I was moved that, wow, this is amazing. She was unlocking Proverbs 31. I said, wow, what humongous intelligence. But behind, do you know that she has a brothel? Both brothel and motel together. She does weed. You thought it's just a movie, but this is a living reality. We know it's happening all around. It's happening. And that's why I said that the gospel is first to you before it is through you. Because many a times we tend to take ourselves off that radar and say, you know, I'm just their pastor. Hallelujah. You know that's common. So pastor gives people assignments and say, do this, and he says, me, I'm exempted. Me, I can't be part of it because I'm higher than them. You will not grow. You don't see what the Bible says in Ephesians 4 does not exempt the ministry gifts, the fivefold office. He gave some to be apostles, right? And some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Alright? He says, till we all, not them, we all, including the apostle, including the prophet, including the pastor, including the evangelist and the teacher, till we all of us, we are all growing. So while I'm teaching, I'm growing. So the day I get to a point, I say that me, I've arrived. So that's why people easily say, follow my words, don't follow my ways. What's that? If your ways are pure, why shouldn't we follow it? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Didn't say follow my words, but don't follow my ways. We need to, your ways have to be integrated into the ways of God to the point that people can follow it. And you are so sure and say that no. There's something that is an heritage that can give to men. Is that clear? So I'm so passionate about organic Christianity, organic, the living layer, the living strands of a Christian existence. And that's why we have to be built in the word of God, so that will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Okay? So the language of organic is a language of vital, a language of living, a language of structured. Am I too fast? The language of order. The language of regulation. The language of fundamentalism. Fundamental reality. That's organic. Living
respect.
Living. Christian life with rules. Christian life with results. And the result is not that I have a car. Alright. Am I saying having a car is wrong? No. But the result is a testament of your life aligning with the possibility of God. Okay, that's the result in this context. The testament, that your life becomes a testament. Your life becomes a gateway where people have inroad into the operation of Christ. You can become a route to Christ. You can become a route. You can become that path, that trajectory, that when people are light on, they can gaze at the Christ and say, no. Of a truth, this is a living epistle. You know what 2 Corinthians told us, chapter 3 or so? It says to us that we are the living epistle. Is that true? That the world reads. Yeah. That the world reads. That's not. But I'm tempted to look into that scripture. Can we look into it? Let's look into it. But that's not I. How did we come today again? We're supposed to do pick up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay. Online community, I hope you are getting us there. We are doing Bible study, so that's why I'm taking it slow and steady. We might not do a lot of shouting and all of those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says from verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Are you seeing this? This is an amazing scripture. It says that ye are our epistle. It's referring to people as letters. Are you getting it? It's referring to people as books. It says, sis, you are a book. Are you getting it? And it says that the fact that you are a book means that you are not for decoration, you are for reading. That men read you. I don't know if you know that you are read. You think you are just meandering or walking, even on your street. There are people that know you better. Have you not noticed that sometimes somebody is looking for a wife? And the best thing goes to the street. And go and make confirmations from people around. Say, Mama, do you know that sister? How is her life? You don't know. And the woman will download your life. The days you came with two men, the woman will say, the lady is always coming with men. You just think you are walking anywhere. Even if it is in the dark, they know you. There are people that recognize you even while you are in the dark. That's because they have read you well. Are you aware that there are people who knows where you go out and they know where you come in? It's because you are a book. You are a book. You are a book that men read.
If there's anything you will go back with today, you must understand how a book you have become. And this is a scriptural template. It has perspective from the word of God. It says, ye are our epistle, known and read of all men, not some men, of all men. Men read you. You are a book, you are a parchment, you are a scroll that men read. So if you say that I'm doing something in the dark, you lied. You see why we are looking at organic Christianity. Organic Christianity. This is because we are here on an ambassadorial mandate. Follow me. We are here as regents. We are here as envoys. This place is a passageway into your true reality. Are you following me? So we are pilgrims on this earth realm. That means you are not living for yourself. You are living for another. Okay? So your life must reflect the life of the other that you are living for. Because you are an ambassador of the Christ. So, if men are reading you, what they are supposed to read is the one that you are representing. Not your life, not I, but Christ that lives in me. Not I, but Christ that lives in me. Not I. It is because there is now a substitutionary method that at salvific experience, at your salvation level, your life was exchanged. Not just changed, it was exchanged. Okay? So that another man will now begin to live through you. And it's supposed to be that it is that man that should be seen in your epicap, both endocap, epicap. Hallelujah. I'm using agricultural terms. Apostle Paul speaking says that you are an epistle. You are an epistle. Okay? Known and read. Those are powerful registers. Known. Number one is that this epistle is known. Number two is that this epistle is read. Is the epistle is not unknown. The epistle is known and also read. The epistle is not strange. It's not alien. The epistle can be seen. The epistle is known before it is read. The epistle is what? Known before it is read. It's not just read. It is first known. People know you. That's why they are reading you. Did you hear that? They know you. That's why they are reading you. That's why somebody can say, if it was Jesus that did you like this, I will not serve Jesus. It's because your life brought error. That instead of a person to arrive at Jesus, the person saw error. You see why we can't live recklessly? Why we can't walk aimlessly? You see, we have been set on a course, and our faces are like the faces of the flint. Therefore, we must maintain this path, this trajectory, unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I must say to you that the environment of knowing you is not necessarily in the religious sectors. It is in our day that our piety, our only existence, is only resident in the church, in the religious center. So that when we leave that environment, we become another man. And you don't know that you spend more day outside the church. So what have they been reading for days before the Sunday? Before our normal Sunday meeting? What have they been reading? Wait. What has been your functionality as a believer from Monday through Friday and Saturday? Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't know that ministry is everywhere. We have boxed ministry into the church, not knowing that your journey, your walking on the street is ministry. So people are reading you. How come people could just see and say, this sister, she must be born again? Or people say, this brother is a pastor. Have you never said any word? They only saw you, they have noticed you, they've been reading you, and they said, no. In fact, with the company of people that loiters around you, this person is splattered with that texture of Christianity. It's splattered. There's that texture splattered all around him. That's the day we are breaking into. We are not just going to be gathering in the church and lift up holy hands and lift up sonorous voices, and afterwards we are back into our vomit. We are in a day that the Christianity during the week will also be popular. Are you getting that? This Christianity during the week will also be what? Popular. We have put that Christianity in a state of moribund, in a state of death. That's why it's easy for a policeman to take bribe and on Sunday are you following me? It's because we have not taught them that ministry is every day. And as I'm talking about ministry, people say, but me, I'm not in ministry. You are not a Christian. If you have that thought that you are not in ministry, I said you are not what? A Christian. Because you don't know what Christianity is. Christianity is ministry. 2 Corinthians 5. It says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Not some. The ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us. So everybody is in the ministry. The gradient, the degree might be different. Are you getting it? So you are a teaching minister. You are teaching at the school. You are a minister. Are you following? You are a farmer in ministry. Farming minister. You are a cobbler. You are a ministry. Shoe minister. Because somebody could just come. Somebody who is having a swollen leg and put on your shoe one day, the thing disappeared. You have consecrated that reality because your life has now pulsated the possibilities of God even in the material that is in your hand. Are you following me? You are a tailoring minister.
Okay, they don't like to use tailor. Fashion designer.
All Nase.
The two sew clothes. Or if they don't sew, they cut. Even no Biama. Those they call a Jikani shop.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Can we redirect our thoughts about what ministry is? This is why people don't know how to also give. Because they believe that I'm not in ministry. Are you following me? You give your all. You give your time. You give your attention to the work of the ministry. Because you were bought with a price. Some persons got job and they are saying to the Lord that the job you gave me does not give me time to honor you again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The jealousy of God can cause disruption. I'll not say more than that. Only people with wisdom. You understand? Say God gave you a job. Say, I'm now busy. You see, the reason why you cannot convince me is because I was once there. So you can't convince me. You can't. My job was busy. Some persons know me. My job was extremely busy. So what do you want to say? So we must understand how to strike a balance. Give God the place that is prioritized.
Oh God. With what we are doing now, it seems we are going to continue because
it says, ye are our epistle, known and read of some men. This is some men. It says, of all men. See, if you know this, that you have been read, it will regulate your life. Do you know that if a thief is aware that he's being trailed, the thief will recede for some time and say, they are trailing me. I have to. So it means that a thief also can be tamed.
Oh God.
Did you get that? If a thief can be tamed, knowing fully well that they are trailing him, that people are reading him, he might not be tamed all together. Alright, but at least for that period, that some of them could even change location. Just because they are trailing them. It means that at that point in time, the thief was tamed. Because people were trailing him. If as a believer you are aware that people are looking at you, you will also be tamed. Are you getting this wisdom? That you are the one that people are reading. I don't know if people have said a lot of things about you, but people have said a lot. Personally. So it helps us to long for more and to represent Christ the more. In all manner of conduct, in all manner of conversation, in our demeanor. Organic Christianity, organic. A living aspect of Christianity. A vital, fundamental, structured, ordered. Are we together? There are persons who have record that the moment you look at them, that record flashes your heart. So somebody can easily say that he plays women, he plays women. But it's not an unbeliever. So it's just randomizing. It's randomizing. When it comes this one, it comes this one. Are you? Are you getting? Oh, you are not aware that if you know something about someone, even if the person is preaching, that memory will still be flashing your heart. Is that true? Sometimes you hardly hear his words. The thing wants to enter, but there's a system that objects those words. You are trying to say, no, let me try to listen to him, but the thing is still affecting. Organic Christianity. So it means that, you see, records must be cleared. Do you remember I said to you one meeting that the mess you don't clear up will mess you up? The mess, you know what? Clear up will mess you up. There are some of the persons that you grew together. Probably they are not aware that you are not born again. If they see you, those memories that you share together is what they will look at. Even if it's you. You pastor? It's because words are pictures. It registers. But nonetheless, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because the past is gone. Are you following me? I'm trying to say to you that but even in your born again existence, there are things that you can still subscribe to that will still bring some errors. That's why we must understand the concept of organic Christianity. Organic Christianity. Yeah, our epistle, known and read of all men. Known and read of all men. Known. I said to you that it's first known before it is read. Just in the same way that if you go to a bookstore and you want to procure a book, especially if you don't know the title, alright, the very first thing you do is probably you look at the author's biography. Alright? You read the prologue, the preface, you try to check, you go to the back and check about the book. Is that true? It's because it has to be known first before it will be read. That thing will now convince you. Say, this book is good, then I can read it. It was first known before it was read. And I said to us that we are the book that men read. You don't know that you are a window. You are a window. You are a gate. You are a route. You are a pathway. You are a window. Known and read of all men. known and read of all men. And so Jesus came and said, lo, I have come in the volume of books to do thy will. He's saying to you that I am a book. And what has been written about me, I have come to fulfill it. Are you getting it? So if I said to you that you are a book, I know what I'm saying. Because the Bible calls us epistle. It calls us a book. It calls us a scroll that men read. Okay? Verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of what? Of Christ. This is specific. Epistle of Christ. It means that you are not a book unto any other thing. It is specific. It says that we are the book of Christ. We are the epistle of Christ. So the only thing that we should reflect is what? Is Christ. We are the epistle of Christ. And therefore, we must reflect the Christ. That's organic Christianity. Ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the earth. Hallelujah. We are the epistle of Christ. And our coordinate, our regulatory existence, okay, should be tethered towards Christ. Our coordinate, our existence should be geared, okay, should be directed by the language of tethered towards Christ. Christ, it is got to be the reflective mode that we sustain. Is our mode. Do you understand it? Is our status, and we are supposed to sustain it. It should experience sustainability. Organic Christianity. Alright, so let's look into our anchor scripture for today. Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Woo! Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. And let's do verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Did you see what the divine power gave us? It didn't just give us life. It gave us what?
godliness.
You know the language of godliness? According as his divine power has given unto us life and godliness. Not just life, godliness. So we should pay attention to what this life offers. It's like the life does not just offer the capacity to work miracles. Are you following me? Or capacity to prophesy. What I'm saying now. Those things are good. There's nothing wrong with them. Alright? But something must not be neglected. There's a corridor that we must also stay at. And that's called godliness. Godliness. That's godly living. Godliness. Godliness is not recklessness. It's godly living. Through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue, reform, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, not will escape, having escaped, past tense, the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Please follow me. It says, add to your faith virtue. You know the language of virtue? Virtuousness. It says, add to your faith. That means faith was already available. So what you need to build on is faith. If the faith was not there, we will not say add to it. Is that true? Because in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, at new birth, God gave every man a measure of faith. Is that true? In fact, Christ is called faith. And because the Bible says, when faith is come, so that you have Christ means that there is faith inside of you, even though faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Wait. Faith does not come just by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Okay? So, the more you hear the word, the more you hear, the more faith is built. That's what it's saying. The more your faith level, your energy level in the spirit is built, the more you hear the word. It's not just the word. It is the hearing of the word. Are you getting this? Are you getting it? Faith cometh, the way faith comes is by hearing. Not just one hearing. And hearing the word of God. It didn't say faith comes by the word of God. It said faith comes by, as I'm speaking the word, you are hearing. Your faith is being built. Your faith is being given energy. It's being given wings and muscles. Is that true? So that's why, you see why we have got to hear the word. See why we have got to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So, the Bible says to us that add to your faith virtue. What's virtue? Help me, somebody help me. What's virtue?
Nobody's fine.
Okay. Is that what? Dignity. Yeah, it's beautiful. Conduct. Conduct. That's why the book of Proverbs 31 was captured the virtuous woman. The virtuous. So if you read all of those qualities, all of those attributes, you will know what virtue is in true sense. So it says, add to your faith. Don't just say to us that I have faith. Let's see virtue. That was what flowed out of Jesus to the woman. Do you remember? Jesus said, virtue flowed out of me. What is he saying? Life. It's not just power. It's not just power. Life. Add to your faith virtue. And the Bible never said God will add it. It says add you. Are you seeing the living? Are you seeing living? Are you seeing living? This is what we call organic Christianity. Living. It says you have to come to a point of taking responsibility to live godly deliberately. Because yes, we know that it is God who is at work in you. All right, that's what we used to marginalize that operation. Say, no, it's not you. Hello, sir. If you don't partner with that God at work in you, you will live recklessly. Of course, we know that is the one at work in you, but not without your participation. Not without your partnership. Because it doesn't just overrule your will. It ensures that you partner with him for fulfillment of purpose and destiny. Oh, you have not seen men that they have a very bright future. They are bright. They are not blight. They are bright. But yet that future they saw ahead, they didn't fulfill it. They are in the grave. Because if you don't partner with purpose, there will not be fulfillment. So you can be daydreaming. And say, I will arrive. They have taught you that the only thing you should do is confess. Confess. See, as long as you keep confessing, you keep confessing. You are confessing, you are not taking steps with your confession. Faith without works. But there's something that we must do. Faith with works. Faith with works. There are two things that Ephesians chapter 2 captured. But we only pay attention to verse 8. We don't go to verse 10. Is that true? We don't go to verse 10. We only hang around the verse 8.
And says, by grace. It's not by works, lest any man should boast.
But the same writer told us in verse 10. He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto all good works. The verse 8 was capturing the salvific work of Christ, that you don't have any impute in that. Your impute is not in that. There's nothing you did for Christ to die for you. Alright, so it's not by your works. Let's say, that's what he's saying. But verse 8, verse 10 is now saying, you see, even though you didn't do anything in salvation, hello, when it comes to work, we created you unto all good works, unto good works. That there's something called good works, not dead works. Because in John chapter 6 talks about dead works. This one is not dead works, it's good works. It says to your faith, add virtue. Add virtue. Add virtue. And this is a deliberate action. There are people who are moral, or they are moralists. Is that true? And in that status, as moralists, they will take a decision that I will not do this thing. And they also help. Is that true? Before I came into Christ, there were decisions I took, and I didn't influence them. Alright? I'm not saying I was perfect altogether, but the truth is that what I said I wouldn't do, I didn't do it. You know why? Wait. Daniel and the 3 Hebrew boys, they were not born again, but they decided that they would not defile themselves. Is that true? With the portion of the king's meat. And God empowered them. Of course, there are some reality we never come into without becoming born again. Because there's got to be a transmutation of nature for you to be able to live accurately. So you cannot stay altogether in morality without transition to spirituality. Are you me? Tell me I'm just moral. I'm just moral. Hello, sir. That realm must die, and you come into spirituality. That's where we live in this kingdom. I said to us the other time that we don't look for the spectacular, we look for the spiritual, the supernatural. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, concerning spiritual, I will not have you ignorant. Not concerning spectacular. So it might not be spectacular. There might not be razzmatazz. There might not be gimmicks, gymnastics. But you can trace the texture of spiritual. That's where we know the real thing. So you might not be like, are you me? Hallelujah. Even though you tend to love all of them, you've not seen a lot of displays. If you go to Ghana, they are littered in that corridor. That's their home. Some of them have where a snake will spit into their eyes, and from that onward, they will see your 20 years ago. It's not true. In my own church, a prophet told us, said there's a place in their village. There's a particular water in the bowl. That if they use it to wash their eyes, they will see anything. Before he came into Christ, he told us all of those stories. So, seeing does not. There are people who see without being in Christ. Can I tell you something? people who walk the miraculous without being in Christ. All of those things are possibilities in Christ Jesus. But the point is that if you see the genuine, you will know. Because there's always the texture of that life of Christ, even in that reality.
Is that true?
Why do you think they accuse Jesus of Beelzebub? It's because that's the job description of Beelzebub. Beelzebub cast out devils and is not in Christ. So they said to Jesus that you are casting out devils by Beelzebub. It's because they are aware that this is the office of Beelzebub. Wow. You don't know? Okay, you thought they only accused him? No! It's because that's what Beelzebub does, the Lord of the Flies.
So they said to him, hey, so you too, you are now. And what was the reply of Jesus?
Are you following? We must go back to the Word of God. You will see that if we stay here, miracles will become our natural disposition. They will flow. You might not have to pursue many of these things. I said to you, I don't know, maybe you have heard before, but many of the things that maybe revelation, all of those things, I didn't know when they came into my life. And I'm serious. I guess I've shared it before. All I was just pursuing is the Word of God. I just get books. I'll just be reading. Just studying. The day vision came, I didn't know. I told you about my first time interpreting tongues. I told you. The prophet just called me. I said, come, go and interpret. That's all. No special prayer. I said, Lord, I want to start interpreting. Lord, help me. And I'm not saying you can't pray. Alright? Don't get me wrong. I'm only telling you my own pattern. That there was something I was pursuing. And it's the Word of God. And of course, those things might come in the place of my fellowship, the place of my prayers, and all of those things. But the point is that the Word of God should not be bamboozled. We shouldn't. Not even in our generation. That we have light. Light and understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know that people hardly believe that you can only live by the Word of God? You're not aware. That people tell you that no, you are lying. You can't. It's not. That you have to engage in Elixir. E-L-I-X-I-R. Okay. It's language of concoction, mixing things together. You don't believe. I don't believe. Say the Word of God. The Word of God. Are you saying? Are you serious or you are joking?
Hallelujah.
We must return to that day. That you will stay in the Word and you see here the Lord. Hear that? You will stay in the Word and you will still hear the Lord. Because as you are staying in the Word, the Lord could minister words to you. Are you following? Because there are also extremists that says that, you see, this is all. Oh, God doesn't really speak. Hallelujah. He doesn't really speak. When you just have the Word,
it doesn't. So how do you then receive instruction? Well, is it that, did God write in the scriptures that go to the street, you will see a blind man, go and meet him? Is it in the scripture? So how do you capture that kind of reality? How will you just be seated at home and God says, you see, there's somebody outside your gate? Are you getting this? How do you just stay in your home and God says, rise up, go to the hospital, go and pray for somebody, and you're just doing your thing? You go to the hospital and you pray the person. Is that one written in black and white here? So we have come to a place of balance. God still speaks. Exactly. The Lord still speaks. Some don't even believe in miracles. The Lord does miracles. Some don't believe in prophecy. The Lord prophesies. Some don't believe in healing. The Lord heals. Those ministries subsist. Alright. So your faith had virtue. Right? To your faith add virtue. Okay? And to virtue, what? Knowledge. Are you seeing organic Christianity living? So that you don't think that when you were engrafted into that life, you were engrafted into spectatorship, not partnership. Right? Because something that said there's nothing we need to do again. He has finished it. No, you lied. That's why people say that Jesus already fasted for us. He fasted for us. Are we together? You see, a lot of doctrine is raising its head, and they are raising this bar, and the bar is high and lofty. That they have to be crumbled. And charlatans have to leave the pulpit for the church of Christ to be built or to be born in the true essence. That's what one said one time. See, some of us, you know, we are all young. But the way we are going, the guy on his birthday, I was saying, I am God. I am the Father. I am the Son. I am the Holy Ghost. I celebrate the Holy Ghost. I don't have a past. I don't have present. Don't celebrate birthday. Because of this new creation, I am the Father. I am the Son. You. I am the Holy Ghost. You. Maybe you didn't see them. The team. It went viral. Many people are actually digging their early grave. Yeah. It is. Actually, some that you see that died, they dug their grave. basis of trespass. See, that's why I said to us that in Christ, I know they have told you that you're unlimited, but you are limited. Say you're unlimited, bro. I have come to say that you are limited. I am limited. I understand your point, but you must balance your point. Yes, in Christ, the essence is the realm of unlimitedness. But in yourself, you are largely dependent on Him. We are creatures of vulnerabilities. We are vulnerable. We are creatures of vulnerabilities. We are vulnerable. Our definition, our life is in Him. That's the way we're wired. We're wired to be dependent. And you can't say you are dependent and you're unlimited. Is that true? Nobody is dependent and is unlimited. Is that theory correct? You are saying I'm not saying it. Because you are doing Bible study.
But does not mean that you will not play.
I could sing. But I have not since now. I'm doing Bible study. It says to your virtue, add what? Add knowledge. Knowledge. Don't forget in verse 3, he told us that verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. You see? The multiplicity of grace and peace is via the window of knowledge. That how grace and peace multiplies is through the gate of knowledge. Are you getting it? That's the multiplicity of grace and peace. It happens by knowledge. Listen to me. This is different from just the ordinary grace and salvation. This is where we don't come into balance. We have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. Is that true? But even in that grace, it says that we need to multiply the grace and peace. How? By knowledge. So Peter also told us, he says, maybe in 2 Peter 3 and last verse, he says, grow in grace. So there's the economy of growth system in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you grow in grace, you grow in knowledge. They are both streams within the economy of grace. It's within the economy. You are not outside the grace, but within that grace, there's multiplicity. Within that grace, there's growth system. So you are not called unto redundancy. You are called unto works. Because they told us that you don't work. No, they lie to you. We are called unto works. Good works. Good works. Good works in Christ Jesus. What are good works? Evangelism. What are good works? Working miracles. What are good works? Giving. Interceding for the saints. Good works. So you thought you came into that life for you to sit down and spectate. No, you are wrong, sir. Do you know that we are deficient? Because you will not imagine Jesus walking on the streets and see someone who is lame or deaf and he turns his eyes away. Hallelujah. But you know that that's our is our mode today. The moment you even sight a madman, you come to the to another crowd. You see, we are laughing. But it's actually a matter. The church needs to be born. I'm serious. The moment you sight a madman, you turn away. But not Jesus. That's why we don't even do on street preaching again. We don't do all of those things. Or some, they do them. But it's not common. That's my point. It's not common. If I may ask you, when last did you speak with somebody on the street and say, have you met Jesus? It's not common. It's a strange thing in our day. It's strange. Organic Christianity. I hope you're not angry. Because the men who are silent. That's me. Yes, it's you. We just want to escape a lot of things. Leaving the place of good works. Good works. For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. Unto good works. Okay. Unto good works. So there's the stream, there's a stream of knowledge. There's a stream of knowledge. It says that to your virtue add knowledge. 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 It means that you must be equipped. You know why Apostle Peter is trying to reveal this thing to us? You are partaking of the divine nature. But there's a learning curve that you must subscribe to understand the operating system of this nature. Is it lesser? To understand, you are partaking of the divine nature. You have it. However, you have to make subscriptions to some learning systems in order that this culture will be you'll be abreast with this culture. You'll be abreast. If you go to a new organization, all right, if you are employed, of course you know that the very first thing they will do is to initiate you into the system that works in that environment. They give you your job description, all right, because you cannot just be employed and you are meandering in the environment. There must be specificity as to your job operation, your job description, your operational limits. Alright? Some of these are captured on your letter. Some are not captured on the letter. Some will be on ground. Is that true? It will be a physical expression of your operation. So it's not good enough to be employed. You must also know the operation that regulates your employment. Are you getting it? So that you came into Christ is not just is good, but it's not good enough. Because you must also know what guides your operation in Christ.
must also be weaved with the economy of that life, with the culture of that life, with the civilization of that life. So he began by introducing to us that we are partakers of divine nature. Is that true? But you've got to know the modus operandi of this nature. You must become cream de la cream. In that reality, do you understand that? You must become cream de la cream. You must be weaved with that knowledge and become best at it. So to your virtue, add what? Add knowledge. Add knowledge. Add knowledge. Add knowledge. Add knowledge. And you know that it's not just talking about any kind of knowledge. The knowledge is the word of God. Okay? The word of God. The word of God. You must subscribe. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Paul speaking says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance amongst the saints. Right? In 1 Peter chapter 2, Apostle Peter speaking, it says, as newborn babes, he says, you desire the sincere milk of the word of God, thereby you grow. Right? That you may grow, thereby you subscribe to the world. All right, so the world is a potent tool for growth system. It's a potent tool for growth system. If you want to grow, look into the world. If you want to grow, learn. When I said that, one rhyme just came to my.
If you want to learn, learn.
Hallelujah.
Don't mind.
Yeah. Second Peter, run and verse 3. According as his divine power given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. You see why we have to optimize knowledge. We have to optimize knowledge. We have to be giving to ardent knowledge. So Apostle Paul said to his protege Timothy, says, till I come, give attendance to reading and to doctrine. Is that true? Give attendance to reading, to doctrine, to exhortation. Give attendance. Do you understand that language? That means you must mark regular attendance. Give attendance. You know, while you were in school, the teacher comes and calls attendance. So even if you told somebody to help you write down your name and you are not on site, when the teacher comes, he will detect that something is fishy. So he gets to number one, call Tunde, the presenter. Say Bajilon, presenter. Ilubeju, presenter. Hallelujah. Oriade, presenter. And he gets to this name. Number 24. Edmund. And everybody's looking.
Hallelujah. The person sitting will look at where his head normal. Something was wrong. He was not in attendance, but somebody wrote his name. So, Apostle Paul is saying to his protege, say, you have to be regular on the attendance list so that today we will mark the register that you came. You don't know. Those times that you shunt study, you think it's not in the archive of heaven. Wait, do you think that there's anything you do in time that is not captured in eternity? Oh, you thought that I didn't study, and you thought that's all. Those times that there was a tickling, say, pray, and you keep mosquito, it was happening. Because the hand of God became mosquito. It was captured. The eyes of God goes to and fro the earth. Growth system, knowledge to your virtue, add knowledge to your virtue, add knowledge. We must be given to ardent studies of the Word of God. Ardent. Don't be in a hurry. You can't know all the Bible. Or you thought I just said, you thought what I said was wrong? Well, tell me how many you know. Even those high-ranking persona at the top church level, they cannot come out and say that I know the Word of God. But a man, he will die. If you know the entirety of the Word of God, even in eternity, we cannot exhaust God. Even in eternity. Oh, you are not aware that when we transit, we still continue to learn God. Because if you don't continue, then there's nothing you want to know about God again. So don't be in the hurry. That's why you see people who have this 1 year plan. I want to finish the whole of them. There's nothing wrong, it's good. But how much has it formed in your life? That's why take it slow and steady. I'm not saying you should not do whatever you like, but the thing is that let there be reflection. Reflection. I'm not saying don't study. I cannot boast that I've finished the Bible.
Me. Or you too. So we are, it's not only me, but I know we have
great men here. Me, I've not finished it. Months, I could say that on one act, on Ephesians, months. If that's what I know for that year, I'm good. And you can see the result in my life. To your virtue, add knowledge. Add knowledge. Do you know that with all that we have studied, we are only scratching the surface. We are only scratching the surface. We have not even entered any layer in God. Scientists capture that the brightest brain only uses about 3% of the brain. Are you aware? The brightest 3%. What? Add knowledge. Are we together? Add knowledge. You know, in our day, we have men who say that. They pray well, but they don't have the word.
That's the undoing of our time. People do 24 hours retreat. They do 72 hours praying in tongues. But they cannot sustain that posture to read the word of God. Are you following me? They can't. There's nothing wrong with concerted prayer. All of those prayers. But you must build partnership, you must build balance. Because what the apostles captured was that, you see, we will not serve tables, but we must give ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the word, to the ministry of the word and prayer. You cannot separate them. They are inseparable entities. You must give yourself to the ministry of the word and prayer. Not just prayer and no word. Prayer, few word. Prayer, limited word. It's conjunction. In fact, in my own opinion, and with what I've had, the experience in the word of God, you pray well when you know the word. Not just in my opinion. Is that true? We have experience, that's the standard. You pray well when you know the word. Because what you're actually bursting forth is the word. Even when you are praying in tongues, you are bursting forth the word. You pray well. Wait. Have you noticed that when there's a famine of the word in your life and you are praying, it will look scanty, like you are not striking a chord. And me, I've noticed it. Is it true? I have. It's as though the thing is not entering. The roof is just. And you would have prayed in tongues for hours. I told you more. I prayed. And I thought that thing was over like 3 hours. I checked time, it was less than an hour. Less than an hour. Sometimes you have to retreat and get back into the world. When you are studying the word, burdens will now begin to arise. Burdens. So that's why I don't know how you are successful in finishing two passages in 20 minutes. Say, Alpha, I said, I'm done. Is it newspaper? Is it newspaper? In 20 minutes, two passages, you don't know the word. You don't know the word. Because you can't get around brass one for 1 hour. And as you are studying, bodies will be coming. Scriptures will be connecting scriptures. There will be nexus. There will be links. Hallelujah. And you now say, I'm true. In my early days, those are the things that happened to us. In fact, the person that trained me was Ash. Because he expects that you even know what is in that place, verbatim. So he now asks me, what's verse 1 saying? I say, verse 2. So those days I was quoting. I cram. But actually, even though that year it was like, but it's helping me. Oh, you're not aware? Are you seeing that it's helping me? Oh, wait. Do you see the results?
Yeah,
if that didn't do all those things, you will not see what you are saying to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes there are some horrible experiences that we go through that we're not aware that those experiences are shaping us. We are not aware. I was reading of a noble guy, a young guy, I guess he's about 32 now. He's doing very fine. Very, very fine. This guy is intelligent. This guy is bright. He's auspicious.
When he began to write about a bit of his profile, one of the things that he captured was that when he was younger, there was a Ghanaian teacher that he had, Mr. Tete. This man ensured that he knew all African leaders, UN leaders, at that age. It was terrible. He said it was a serious burden for him because he was this. He never knew that man was shaping his life. He has been to several countries to speak. When you hear him speak, he's one of the people that when I see, I'm challenged. I don't know if some of you are challenged. Me. I can even take my time to study you. When he speaks, but something formed him, something shaped him, but it was a furnace. Those days, it was like a furnace of affliction, but now it's reaping the dividend. Those days, it was like a conundrum. Alright? But now,
there is conundrum.
C-O-N-U-N-D-R-U-M. Can we get back to our world?
When you see a young person doing fine, don't abhor him, honor him. And one thing I love about him is that he has the foundation. His father was a pastor. When he releases any post, he ensures that he ejects Christ. But he's doing fine.
So instead of eight, there's been a walking on him that brought him to that light. If you had it, maybe you would have arrived there, but you didn't have it. So honor the person who had it. Are you following me? That's my own oppression. I'm just telling you how I operate. My wife knows. I'm challenged by people. I'm challenged. So when I see youth, young men doing great things for the kingdom, even in the social space.
Hallelujah.
So your virtue add what? Knowledge. Knowledge. The knowledge of the word of God. The knowledge of the word of God. The knowledge of God's word. Add it. That's the way you will understand the new environment that you came into. We don't know if. Hallelujah. The word of God brings us into the stream of knowledge. The stream, the tributaries of knowledge. And not just head knowledge, but life knowledge. Because what the word of God precipitates is life. It's life. It's life. Life is formed. Life is fabricated. Life is downloaded. You know why? Because there's a spirit behind the word.
You were there when I was doing a broadcast. I was explaining to them.
It says that albeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the spirit of truth. Is that true? So Jesus said to us that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, I said to you, to them that it means that
Jesus is the path, is the journey, is also the destination. Is the path, is the journey, and also the destination. Alright? So, and in John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That truth is what we capture as the Word, right? So, we could substitute truth for the Word. Albeit, when the Spirit of the Word is come, it will guide you into all truth. So it means that behind the Word is the Spirit of the Word. And there's something that Spirit does, because it is the Spirit that quickens. What's the language of quicken? Emit light, pulsate light, life, energy. The Word of God, it is the Spirit that quickens. Quickens. Energy. The flesh profit not. And the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So words are spirit and life. So the Word of God engenders spirit ecosystem and life existence. Life. Do you understand that? That's why the experience you have when you study the Word is different from the one you have when you look at, when you study or look at encomium or study storybook. Is that true? Have you read newspaper before and you are led to pray? Listen. But when you begin to read the Word, there is a nudge. There's an insatiable appetite that needs to be wet. And that can only find expression through the gateway of prayer. Is that true? Through the gateway of prayer. It's because behind the Word is the Spirit of the Word. The Spirit of truth. You see, what we have to, we shouldn't marginalize the Word of God. That language of marginalize is that we shouldn't relegate the Word. The Word has to be prioritized, because there's an experience that is afforded in the Word that cannot be afforded in the Word. You know? There's an experience that can be afforded in the world that cannot be afforded in the world, in the cosmos, cosmopolitan existence. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus was trying to show us what the world envelopes. Says that my words are spirit and life. Aye. My words are spirit and life. So when he got to Lazarus' tomb, he understood that economy. He didn't do any special thing. Is that true? He only told them to roll away the stone. And it says, Lazarus, come forth. Because the moment he spoke, spirit and life was emitted. Are you following? Spirit and life was released. The frequency of life was downloaded. So he that was there could not resist that sound, because it was captured from eternity.
I want us to move fast.
But I'm sensing that I have to hang around this place a bit. Words. You know, we are in knowledge. And I'm trying to tell you how knowledge comes. It's by the word of God. And so there's the written word of God, there's the spoken word of God, and there's the living word of God. The written word of God, spoken word of God, and the living. Before it was written, it was living.
Abonakata. And I don't want to speak in tongues, because we are doing Bible study.
Adome salubia kondi ashtai. But there's a place I am,
and that we have to go mix.
Before it was written, it was living. When you met the word, before the word began, you meet the word as a living being, not as a written being. Are you getting it? And after it was written, it was still living. Are you following me? And so it was a living written word, and a written word living. Do you get that? It was a living written word, and a written living word. Before it was written, it was living. After it was written, it is living. Hallelujah. So,
the Bible says, and the Lord, the word, let's substitute for the word,
was walking with them, confirming the world with signs following. He was walking with them. Alright? So I explained to us one time, there are two dimensions of this with. Is that true? They said to Peter and John, when they saw them in Acts chapter 4, they said, when they noticed that they were unlearned men, they took knowledge that they have been with Christ. But it's an imbalanced doctrine. Because they didn't just be with Christ. Christ was with them. So they didn't capture that layer. Because Jesus said, look, I am with you always. So there are two things that come together. You are with me, I am with you. It's a marriage. That's what colors us. That we are with him. He is with us. We are married. That's what colors destiny. That's what makes you who you are. You are helpless without that reality. No, I am with you always. They took knowledge that they have been with Christ, but they didn't know also that Christ was with them. Two realities. They have been with Christ, and Christ was with them. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. That's why there are things that we need to understand. We need to understand the ministration of the Lord to us and our ministration unto the Lord. Are you following me? We need to understand the ministration of the Lord unto us and our ministration. You are not aware that we minister unto the Lord. We minister unto him. Knowledge. Sir, when you know this, you are empowered. know why? Because the word of God empowers a man. There's a scripture in principle that we can use. Where the word of a king is, there's dunamis, there's dynamo, there's power. There's power. Where the word of God is, the result is power. It was words that he spoke, but it was power that we saw. Are you with me? So there is a realm in the word of God that the word of God converts to power. Did you hear that? That the word of God converts to power. That's why you can speak just words and bones will come back to bones. Sinews will come. It said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, me, I'm limited. Only thou knowest. He said, son of man, prophesy, speak words. He's trying to introduce Ezekiel to an economy of words convertible to power. He said, prophesy to these bones. And the Bible says that Ezekiel prophesied. And before his face, he saw, maybe for the first time, that experience, that long-aged bone, that if they were, if archaeologists goes to check, it would have been long. And he spoke words, traveled into the past, traveled into the present. Are you following? Can I say something? Where do you think John was on the island of Patmos? He was in the spirit, right? He says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Is that true? But do you know that where he was in the past, present, and future. Are you following me? That's why he could capture things in the past. Introspect. Things in the present, retrospect. And things in the future, prospect. He was in the spirit, but he was within the window of past, present, and future. Are you following me? You don't know the spirit life we came into. It is an amazing life. That's why Moses will hang in the spirit and he will capture Genesis. It's because when you come into that window, you are abreast with the possibilities of past, present, and that's why Moses will capture about Christ. Do you understand? So the word of the prophet. And you know that there are all categories of men in that grave. Young, old, several races, albino could be there, white men could be there, black could be there. Alright? Irrespective of their colors, of their race, of their gender. The word doesn't matter. The word is not concerned about all of those things. Is that what when you direct the world at a reality, there's a consummation. There's an accomplishment. No bias. It is the word. When you speak the word. So it spoke the word. The Bible says to us that there was a cracking. Bones, wait. Please. The word is systematic. Alright? There's precision in the word of God. The word is systematic. There's precision. Alright? There's coordinate in the word. Because the Bible says to us that bones, they will be locating bones. Of course, you know that they would have been scattered. So, your bone was not going to ease. Those bones were locating themselves. They were locating themselves until they became the reality that the word spoke. Are you following? You see why the reality of the word of God must be engaged constantly. Don't say you have spoken once and things are not happening. You speak continuously. You speak continuously. It is a perpetual existence. You continue to speak. Continue to speak. I was saying to some of you, you know what they call importunity prayer? Importunity. Consistency. You are trusting God for something next year. You are speaking words. Don't be fooled. I say when I speak and speak, it's very no, that's not what being reputation is. See, the Bible says we not do vain repetition. I've asked God once. That's all. You will just be waiting. And when you are waiting, you are wasting. That what? You say, I faith the remaining. I will faith it. I've asked one. I don't want to do vain repetition. That's no. Vain repetition is the economy of the Pharisees. Do you understand? They want to ask and ask and ask so that they will be seen. But the Bible says to us, the Bible in the original context, it didn't say knock or ask. It says keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. That's what, if you read other versions, apart from KJV, that one you see. Keep on. Alright? The Bible says, ask until your joy is full. Until your joy is full. I just helped someone. Is that true? So that you will not be locked in that cocoon of our hearts and ones. Wait. Maybe something, there's something you are thinking that, but the last time I did it once and it didn't happen exactly. It was mercy spoke. And it's just because we wanted to invite you into that economy. So that's what we call taste and see. So there's the economy of taste and there's the economy of tarry. Are you with me? There's the economy of taste, there's the economy of tarry. What Jesus didn't say to them that? He says, tarry in Jerusalem, tarry ye in Jerusalem until Jesus didn't say stay. He says, tarry. Because he knew it was going to take time. You are not aware that they tarry for 10 days. If he didn't say tarry, they would have left. But that word was resonating with them that, he said tarry. Some of them would have been confused that, but this is the first day, second day, nothing's happening, we want to go. But they will remember that he said tarry. And tarry can take 20 days. Tarry can take 1 year. You're here. That's why some things you have been praying for 2 years, you have not seen them. 3 years, you have not seen them. It's because there's the economy of tarry. That's why it's called long suffering. To suffer long. In those days, your texture is tested. Your waiting power, your waiting energy is tested. The followers of them who through faith and patience obtained the promises. Faith and patience. tarrying. Are you being? Keep tarrying. It will. The day will break. My day, your day will break. Are you following me? To your virtue, add knowledge.
And they don't want us to begin Ephesians.
Adodogobo Shahalamande. To your faith, add knowledge. Knowledge. We must constantly glean from the compendium of scriptures. I don't believe personally, that any Christian will survive without the word of God. I don't. You can have access to crumbs, but not fullness. You want to engage the mystery of the fullness, it has to be by the gate of the world. That's how you edge. And that's how you edge. To your virtue, add. Have you come out of the word of God before? And there's a joy welling up above. Joy, just welling up. Joy. You're just joyous. You're just full of joy. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Full of glory. Joy wells up on your inside. Joy wells up on your inside. Access to the world is access to joy. Access to the world is access to joy. You want to live a blatant failure? If there is famine of the world, there's the reality of constancy in despondency. Constancy in what? In despondency. You are despondent, you are sad. One thing that I know, that could suffice a man in the face of carnage is the word of God. That's why you might not have a dime in your pocket, but the word of God will put joy in your heart. Your plastic hand can't do that. Chemistry will not do that. Hallelujah. Ah, the word of God is amazing. Jesus is amazing. Is that true? Do we agree? There's unanimity in our agreement. Is that true? Or is there anyone who is not on the same page with us? Oh, glory to God. There's somewhere I'm actually going to. Well, I'm not sure we can arrive at that place. Because all of this that I'm doing, they are preamble. There's something that caught me. There's something that when I when I read this word again, I left. I don't my own. It's just I'll just leave the Bible. Alright? I will press and engage the reality. So I could come back at night and start again, or come back tomorrow and start again. I'm not ready to. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't worry. You just keep putting everything in your head. Alright, but me, I want the life. I want to soak. So if I see anything that addresses me, you know this is mirror. When you look into it, you should see yourself. If you are looking at it, you are not seeing. You should see. Have you looked into the mirror and you see a gorilla? Who do you see? Yourself. You know what? Because you are not a gorilla. So the world should reflect you. So, if there are excesses in your life, the world should cut them off. Is that true?
Yes.
That's the way we know that God is conquering you. That's what we know. It's not by how proficient you are in word delivery. It's not your prowess in prayer venture. It's not, because all of those things can be done with a miserable life. You don't know. You don't know. Your life might not be correct, and you will come and lead prayer. People will fall under the anointing. It's not a yardstick for gauging your accuracy or your steadfastness in the Lord. I am letting my flow through you, but character sustains you. Does what? Sustain. That's sustain. Have you seen when a man has gone to the top and they now begin to dig out his portfolio? He doesn't. Is that play with our presidency? Say, he didn't go to the university, he didn't go to primary school. He thought he shunned that reality, but the top revealed his weakness. That's what happened. You don't know. It's not when you begin to arrive now. Some of the weaknesses will not surface. That's why we must begin to deal with all of those things. If now you are seeing an iota of anger, an iota of pride, and saying, no, it's just normal. They can manage it. At least God is still answering my prayer. He's still answering my prayer. Bro. The Bible says to your virtue, this is what we call organic Christianity. It's a language of adding. You know what adding means? Adding means that you're not subtracting. Is that true? If you are adding, you are growing. Are you following me? Hear my word. If you are adding, you are what? You are growing, because you cannot add two and it will give you two. It will be four. Are you getting it? If you add more to, it will not give you 4, it will give you 6. So if you are adding, you are growing. You are developing. So that's why it says add. Add. If you want, a bottle of water to be sustained, you don't want to exhaust it. What do? You keep topping it. You keep adding it. The more you add, the more you will drink. So the Bible says, add. Add. It's a deliberate decision. Deliberate action. Deliberate action. You add to it. You are insatiable. You want to advance. You want to progress deeper. You want to know the Lord more and more. You want to be better. You don't want to have a better yesterday. You want to advance more. So that where they met you 10 years ago is not where you are presently. Where they met you yesterday is not where you are. So that when people come, every time this man speaks, there's always freshness. Even though he has been in the business for some time. How do you follow me? How people can easily desert you. It is very easy. We are no longer struggling. Because you are actually attracted by values. By your value system. You are not aware. What attracts men to you? The moment you stop giving them value, naturally. This is why you always have this appetite. If you are working in a place that they don't pay you for months, you have the appetite to leave. If the thing has been consistent, you know why? It's because you are no longer gaining value. So you want, if you are not adding value, naturally. So we must make subscription to the word of God. Constant splattering. Constant painting. That you paint your soul with God's word. You know, we are in our day, there are things that we have looked down upon. Study in the morning. Says my business girl. Some go to bed and sleep off. See, your dream life, we collide with heaven. That's your mood, constant mood. Because the design is that something must be injected, you must be afflicted and infected with the reality of the word of God in your heart before you go to sleep. This book called the law shall not depart out of your heart, but thou shall make the journey deep. And could it be that that's the reason why you are having battles? How could you sleep without the world? How are you coping? It's It's supposed to be that your status is that you meditate, you think on the word, you think, you just go and sleep. I was telling you about dream accuracy on Saturday. This is one of the strategies. Even if it's a verse of scripture, something must drop that you can brood on while you are on in that realm. Because you are not aware that there's a landscape that you come into when you go to sleep. It's the realm of business. I know some of you are not. This is me. Yeah, it's you. This is why we keep hearing the world. We keep hearing the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Resonate with your spirit.
Ingrastes, Calabria, Titi, Zebedegretus, Ivana de Shakira,
Out of our existence. Thank you for your word that came to us this evening. We bless you, our Father. We know that this word will find full expression in the life of every one of us as recipients. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, precious Spirit of God. Your name is glorified. Your name is praised. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah.